Thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. All right? The number, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. And I just want to put this out. Look, what we're about to do is just it's a beautiful prayer where we gather together as sons and daughters of God. And you don't have to be Catholic to pray this prayer. You know, you don't. It's a beautiful prayer from the heart in which we invoke just the mercy of God. It's scriptural, if you think about it. And we're saying, Jesus, I trust in you. That's what the Lord told us. He said, be not afraid. He told us not to worry, not to be anxious, to trust, right? That's what he said in scripture. That's what he said to St. Faustina. So maybe you're not Catholic. You're thinking, oh, these Catholics are saying that prayer again. Why not join us, right? Why not join us? God knows your heart. He knows who you are, right? I know I have people of all faiths and denominations that listen, and I'd love to have you pray with me. You know, we are brothers and we are sisters in Christ. You and I, we're connected. We're chosen to live at this particular moment in time. And one day, in the not too distant future, as time is short, we will stand in the kingdom of God. You know, we will experience a whole new reality. We will see what St. Paul writes about, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. I mean, the beauty, the majesty, the mystery, the joy, the love that we are about to encounter, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. I mean, fantastic. And we'll talk more about that in the days ahead. I mean, there's a doctor who I just had an encounter with who has documented so many of these near-death experiences. It's pretty amazing stuff. But, you know, this stuff brings home the reality that God exists. He's an intimate part of our life. And that prayer works. Prayer changes things. You know, we've been praying. Yesterday, I had two intentions that came in for the incarcerated. My apology to any prisoner who's written to me. Several prisoners have written to me lately, and I was in a transition. I actually relocated, and as a result of that move, I've not been able to write back to people for a while. But I know a lot of moms, a lot of dads, a lot of siblings are saying, could you pray for my loved one? They're in jail. We're the most incarcerated nation in the world right now, and my heart goes out to anybody and any family member that has a loved one that's doing time right now. Just received an email, and Patrick, thanks for sharing this along. He says, from Elena in California, she called in a couple of weeks ago, asked for prayers for her son, who was in jail. Looked like he was going to be deported. Well, she wants to share with you, the relevant radio family who prayed that day. He is now out of jail. He is not deported, and he's with me right now, she writes. So I just absolutely love that. Another answered prayer. Another answered prayer. Another person said, I wrote to you about my son who is lost in life, and he was looking for a job. Thank God for this prayer of the chaplet. He's back on track, and 32 minutes before today's Divine Mercy Chaplet, he received an offer for a job, the job that we hope for. That's God's will. I want to thank you for all the prayers. Well, Ellen, thank you for writing and sharing another answered prayer with me, and I want to thank everyone who's united with me in prayer here today. Hey, I want to put on your, just on your calendar, if you will, a date, and it's today's date. Father Rocky, who is our executive director here, our chief executive officer. I'm so bad with titles. I don't know people's exact titles, but I call him our executive director. He's the guy who runs the ship, all right? As a priest, you know, his compass is a moral and spiritual compass. He wants to guide us in the mission of throwing out that net wide and drawing souls back to Christ, being fishers of men, bringing truth and beauty and goodness to the culture. That's what we're about here. Father Rocky, a little interesting side note, and please pray for him. And the reason I say pray for him, Satan is nefarious, he is dark, he's cunning, and he knows if he can take out the head, you know, of an organization that's doing good, that's robbing him of souls, then there's no doubt he's going to try to attack him. And look, we saw these military tactics used in revolutionary wars and all sorts of wars. So we see it even in Ukraine. So why not in the spiritual war? You know, why not take out the leadership? Why not? And I said, you know, it's been amazing. I've been with this network 18 years, and God has really protected and insulated us. I think Divine Mercy is a big part of that. So often you see these ministries that have these horrible scandals, whether they're true or not. Relevant Radio has been protected, thank God. But let's pray for our leadership. Let's pray for, in particular, for Father Rocky. Today is his 30th anniversary as a priest. He was ordained on this day 30 years ago by a saint. That's right. Saint John Paul II ordained Father Rocky. And what a gift that is, because John Paul II, they would say, would do all these harsh penances, Yeah, Maggie's saying in my head, what? Yeah, Maggie, John Paul II ordained, he was one of the classes that was ordained by JP2. And John Paul, before he would ordain any priest, would do harsh penances. You know, he would fast, he slept on the floor, he did all sorts of things. And you can see the anointing of God. You know, I met John Paul in person a couple times. He was in communion with God. There was a holiness that I desired. You know, I wanted to be like him. I want that relationship with the Mother of God and with Jesus. And clearly, those prayers for those priests he ordained as having a profound impact. Relevant Radio right now is winning souls for God. We are bringing truth to a culture where there is disorientation, you know, where there is deception and there are lies. And what we're doing here is unique. Satan hates it. We are bringing Christ into the lives of people who've been away from him for a long time. So please pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for Relevant. Pray especially today for Father Rocky. All right? And I'm praying with my colleague, Maggie. It's good to have her on Team Drew here. Maggie, thank you for all you do behind the scenes. And that is a little bit of a surprise, isn't it? Father Rocky, you didn't know that. It's a little inside baseball here.
That was amazing. I didn't realize he was ordained by JP2. That was amazing.
Yeah, and thank God for it. I mean, JP, one of the great patrons of Relevant Radio, too. Mag, anything you want to pray for today? Anything you want to lift up?
I would just like to lift up all fathers and those who will someday become fathers with this upcoming holiday weekend. You guys are the greatest.
That's awesome. Great, great prayer. Oh, I pray for those fathers who've gone before us, too, those who are deceased. But let's pray for fathers. Let's pray for those men who've just found out their girls are pregnant and are encouraging them to have abortions, that they'll be the men that they should be. And, gentlemen, I just want to say to you, if you find yourself in that situation, that child is going to be one of your greatest blessings. Don't make the mistake. I know that it seems like, you know, the world's going to end. It's not. And trust me, that child will be a true blessing. I want to pray for a lot of couples out there discerning marriage and parents that are having trouble having children, you know, for those men and women who want to be fathers and mothers. I want to pray for them too. And let's pray for you. We'll pray for your intentions right now. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. And of course, you can always go to Twitter at Drew Mariani Show, where Maggie will bring those intentions to us coming up in a decade or two. But let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Betty Ann, listening to us and praying with us, hopefully, in Long Island, New York. Hi, Betty Ann.
Hi. I'm looking for prayers for Ron, my friend's brother. He's undergoing surgery at the end of this month. He's got a tumor on his ear inside near his brain, and he can't hear.
All right, well, we'll pray for total and complete healing for him. I'm glad you got through today, Betty Ann. And, you know, we know that I was praying the other day, and I was thinking about how Christ restored sight to the blind, right? He opened the tongue of the mute. He brought, you know, the ability to hear to those who are deaf. So Christ is just as active and alive today. He's an intimate part of our life. And Lord, we call upon your mercy. I pray for anyone who's having auditory problems today, anyone who's got an upcoming operation, anyone battling tumors, anyone who is dealing with cancer, anyone who has anything to deal with the brain, too. It's such a frightening surgery. And I just entrust these souls to you. In this particular decade, I ask that the graces of healing flow for those who need it. Whatever those intentions are, whatever those maladies or ailments are that they're dealing with, I ask that the graces of healing reach those souls. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Brenda is praying with us in Huntington Beach, California. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
Hi.
Any prayers for new beginnings with or without my husband, and for his mental and addiction healing? And also, I need blessings for my birthday today. I really need blessings so I can start a new life today. And with your prayers, I will get new beginnings. Thanks to God.
Amen. 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 Well, first of all, happy birthday, Brenda. All right. And I know on this day, you know, God's going to shower great graces on you. And I want to pray for your marriage. So you're having a problem in your marriage right now. So you're praying, I'm assuming it's for the conversion of your husband too. So let's lift him up right now. I don't want you to despair today. I want you to rejoice, and I want you to trust God. I want you to really ask him. That marriage is sacramental, which I believe it is. I know God's going to hear it. I know he's going to hear your prayers. Graces are going to flow. Ask the Lord for that birthday gift. You know, he often says that people don't ask him for enough, you know, so ask the Lord, you know, ask him today. Say, Lord, please hear this particular prayer, and don't despair. I know the marriage can be a very difficult thing. In Diary Entry 1486, the Lord said to Faustina, he says, you know, there are so many souls who are steeped in darkness. They're going through these difficult times in their marriage or whatever the situation might be. He says, don't despair. All is not lost. He says, come. Confide in your God, who is love and mercy itself. Come and confide in him. So give God your heart today. Right? Just give him your heart. And that goes for all of us. Whatever that situation that seems intractable in your life is, the child that's away from the faith, the addiction, the finances, whatever it might be, that broken marriage, that broken relationship with family members or friends, let's ask God to heal today relationships. All right. And I want to pray in particular for Brenda, that God just surprises her, that he gives her a gift, gives her special graces, but a big surprise. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. I know how much you want to pour out those graces upon us. So we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll grab Paul, and then we'll go to Twitter. We'll grab a couple calls. Let me grab Paul first. Paul is a faithful prayer warrior. I recognize his name out of Milwaukee, and he's a man who's been praying that God heal his vision. And I love him because he's persistent in prayer. He's never given up on prayer. Paul, how are you doing today? What can we pray for today for you?
Okay, Drew. Yeah. So daughters can restore my eyesight again. And also one other quick note, 2 years ago, my former boss passed away on June 14th, 2 years ago. Please pray for the repose of his soul, please.
Good prayer. All right, Paul, we'll pray for you. You got your family here. We're going to pray that doctors can restore your sight, that the divine physician will intercede, or not intercede so much as, you know, illuminate their minds so they can give you the right treatment, or in his mercy, perhaps bring you the healing that you need. But today I was at church, I was at Mass, and I was praying, and I was given this intention, or this desire came to my heart to pray for the souls in purgatory. And I'm glad that you're praying for those who've gone before us. And Lord, I just give you all those souls who've passed before us, those who have passed this test of life, those who need our prayers, those who are dealing with their purgation. And I pray by virtue of this chaplet, by the sacrifice of your Son, many souls today will be released into paradise. And I pray for that soul most in need of your mercy. Maggie's praying with us today, as you have been hearing, and she's also on top of our Twitter account, and she's monitoring all the intentions that come in, and you can put your intention there at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie, who's asking for prayer, or what can we pray for?
We got a note earlier today from Stephen from Wisconsin. He says there's a mother that he knows who has a 2-year-old son named Walt who has a heart defect that's gotten worse. So we want to lift up little Walt for complete healing. Barbie wrote to us and said, Drew, please pray for the people of Montana with all of this crazy flooding that's going
crazy.
On.
Crazy.
I also saw something earlier today that with the heat wave, there's lots of fires happening out west, so I want to lift that up. Chase wrote to us and said, my friend Kyle needs our prayers. He's back in rehab after a year out. Pray for his strength and courage to get up yet again and get healthy. Pray that he gives it all to God. Faith wrote to us, this one really struck me. She said, I've requested prayer many times from you and from others regarding my depression. It just keeps getting worse. It's obvious God doesn't want to heal me. Please ask him at least to prevent me from suicide. I think about it often. Oh, Faith, we're lifting you up. Cookie wrote...
On that note, let me just interject. Faith, sure. If you are praying with me, I had a cousin by that name, too. What a beautiful name, Faith. Faith Ann was her name. Faith, please talk to somebody. If you have these suicidal ideations, if you don't think life is worth living, maybe, Patrick, you can find me that suicide prevention number. Just jot it down. Have it near you, okay? You need to talk to somebody. And again, I'm assuming you're getting treatment. If you're not, please do that. But get somebody in your circle that when you have these thoughts, when that depression overwhelms you, you can contact them. Here's the suicide prevention number. Thank you, Patrick. 800-273-8255. Anyone who is having these thoughts that life is not worth living or you want to hurt yourself, 800-273-8255. 273-8255. Life is worth living. God's created you for a mission and for a purpose. Don't ever forget that. And, my heart breaks for all those parents who lost loved ones by this. Suicide is a long-term fix for a temporary problem. And, that's things change. Life does get better. Mm-hmm. God can heal. And there are treatments and there are ways out of your situation. So I just want you to know that. But go ahead, Maggie. Sorry to step on.
No, that's so true. Thanks, Drew. Cookie wrote to us. She said, pray for my son, Gavin, that he comes back to the church. He isn't living his life. He just kind of exists.
Wow.
Danielle wrote to us and said, please pray for my husband's addiction and for our marriage. He's been unfaithful, and I pray for his conversion and that God will change his heart. And then Teresa wrote to us, kind of on a similar vein, please pray for me to quit smoking and for me and my husband to lose weight. I am praying in thanksgiving also that the Holy Spirit has answered prayers and inspired my husband to pray more.
All right. That's awesome. It's great praying with your spouse. That's for sure. I mean, there's a power, I think, in it. Mm-hmm. I pray for my wife, Kathy, all the time that God increases her love and devotion for him and gives her graces that she needs. I know she prays for me. We pray for each other. And that's the beauty. All right, let's pray. We'll pray for all these intentions. Lord, I trust in you. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Janice in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First, I want to say Thanksgiving for an answered prayer. I called in several months ago and asked for prayers for Aaron, my grandson. He has severe social anxiety, and he has continued to improve.
Well,
he still needs
God.
Prayer, but he is so much better.
That's great.
Yes, it is. And for my brother Tom, for softening of his heart, for two friends with cancer, Kathy and John, and for myself, I have macular degeneration. I would like my vision to get better.
Oh, all right. Well, let's pray for that, Janice. We'll lift you up. Thank you, first of all, for following up with that answered prayer. And let's ask God to give you the grace to carry those crosses that you now have. We'll pray for your brother Tom, for your friend's cancer. Lord, I give you all these intentions right now. I do pray for anyone with eye problems, those who have macular degeneration, glaucoma, problems with their retinas, or light sensitivity, or whatever the issue may be. Lord, I ask you to heal and just protect their vision. I pray for all who battle cancer. This is of an epidemic proportion in this country. I want to pray for Susie Schaefer in particular, who's going through a very difficult time right now. A friend of mine and somebody who's traveled with me in the past who's going through a difficult time, and her husband as well. Lord, I just ask you to heal those with cancer, to mitigate those conditions, to shrink those tumors, to vanquish those cancer cells, to bring reprieve. And we ask this, Lord, in your name as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Judy next. She's praying with us in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Hi, Judy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I need prayers really bad. I'm a widow. I haven't been out of my house in 6 months. I can't drive anymore because of my neuropathy. I have COPD. Wow. I've been praying for over 2 years for better health and for God to tell me what his plan is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just about at the end.
At the end of your rope right now?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I am sorry. Don't give up. All right, Judy? I don't. I'm glad you got through today. I'm going to be praying for you. I know our family here is going to be praying for you too. It's hard, you know, when we have to persist, when we have to continue to carry the cross, when there's no light at the end of that tunnel. I just think quite often of what St. Faustina had said, where the Lord says, have no fear, okay? Even though you go through these adversities, I'm always with you. And this is the thing that always struck me, and it's hard to get my head around, and maybe you're in the same position because you're going through a difficult time. The Lord says, all your adversities, this is what he told Faustina, they're going to harm you only to the degree that I permit them to do so. And you're thinking, well, why would God allow something like this? My neuropathy, all these problems. Suffering's a mystery. It is a mystery, but that line to me speaks to the power that God is in control of everything. He knows your situation. He knows your condition. Your adversities will harm you only to the degree that he permits them to do so. That's it. That's it. Faustina said that the Lord gave her to understand what unimaginable glory awaits the person who suffers, just like you, Judy. That person who resembles Christ on earth, who suffers, who carries their cross, you're going to resemble him in glory. And Faustina, having many of these visions and understood the power of suffering, she would pray. She says, if people only knew this, if they only knew the value, the beauty, the power that comes in suffering, she says, oh my God, if I were able to attain just one more degree of heaven, I would gladly suffer all the torments of all the martyrs put together, because those torments seem like nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in heaven. She had this Trinitarian experience, and she the Lord showed her, allowed her to know the greatness of the various degrees of glory that souls attain. And she says, what a great difference of depth in the knowledge of God there is between one degree and another. When you're in heaven, it's like having a bucket or a thimble. Both can be equally full, right? But to her point here, with God's grace and your encounter, you're totally satisfied. But there are various degrees of glory, she says. And what great difference in the depth and the knowledge of God there is between one degree and another. So always struck by that. And it makes me want to carry my cross without complaining. It wants me to endure the difficulty of life. And I want to speak to you. If you're suffering today, believe me, carry your cross. You will never, never, never regret it. The glory that awaits in the next life makes this seem like nothing. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Lord, I pray for Judy that she has hope. And if it's your will, that you free and heal her. But Lord, I pray for all who carry these crosses of finances and difficulties in their life and cancer and relationship hardships. And they have their crosses and their different manifestations and forms, that they can see how these transform. And Lord, transform them into you. Allow their place in heaven to be one of extraordinary beauty. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for praying with me. I'll be right back. You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Good to be back. Thanks for praying with me. Gosh, I love that chaplet. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and our Lord in such a powerful way. Tell others, if you would, about that time of prayer. We pray every day at that time. There's some news just coming across my radar here, and there's a lot to get into, but I just want to share this with you. Maggie just alerted me to the fact that the House has passed the Senate bill providing security to the Supreme Court justices. Families. And I think that's really important. I thought it was horrible that Justice Barrett, somebody put up where the kids go to school. It's terrible. There's some really crazy, wacky, insane, probably not using the right words, probably politically correct, but, you know, people with some real disorientation that would, you know, want to make a point by, you know, harassing those kids. So I'm glad the bill it fundamentally expands an existing statute and it grants security for the Supreme Court justices. They passed it overwhelmingly. It was 396-27, and the bill will increase security for the justices and immediate families. The bill comes after, of course, that one man was arrested for allegedly plotting to kill Justice Kavanaugh. In fact, he was there. He had all the weapons to do it, walked past the marshals, and then turned himself in, thank God. You know, thank God he did that. Couldn't imagine if it went some sort of other way. But we got to pray still. This is a very high-profile abortion case. What hangs in the balance is life. And when the Dobbs decision comes down, and, I don't know what the final decision will be. My personal view, if I was a wagering person, is, it's going to get overturned. That's what's going to happen. When you deal with something as dark and as sinister as abortion, you know the demonic element is going to be agitating. He's going to create division, foment people, even take people over in some respects. So let's pray for protection. Let's pray for conversion. At Mass today, there was a homily, and the priest there spoke about how we need to pray for our enemies, for those who persecute us, those who do us wrong. And let's pray for those on the other side of the aisle. Let's pray for those who have injured us, those who you just want an eye for an eye from, but you've got to reciprocate with love. So congratulations on that. 27 nay votes. They were from Democrats. 27 nay votes, but overwhelmingly, again, 396-27. The House bill passes the Senate bill that will provide security to our Supreme Court justices and their immediate families. Took a little while. I'm surprised it took so long, to be honest with you, but that's the latest for you. Hey, I do want to talk about Vladimir Putin, too. And I've been praying for him. I pray for our world leaders a lot. I think it's important to do that as well. There were rumors, that he had cancer. I don't know how true a lot of that is. But I also been, I've been following a lot of what's going on in Ukraine. And, the Holy Father sounded off on this, too. I'll tell you what he said. But there are concerns right now that the Ukrainian military is running out of ammunition. I don't know if you've been up on this story. A lot of the coverage has been reduced. If they do run out of military, if they run out of ammunition, it would be a disaster for the country. But the kind of ammo they need is not cheap, right? It's quite expensive. The U.S. and a number of European countries have already dumped billions of dollars worth of weapons and supplies in the country. And Pope Francis has spoken out about the war. He did an interview in a Catholic paper. And this was reported. I read it in The Guardian. He quote, condemned the ferocity and the cruelty of Russian troops. He warned against what he said was a fairy tale perception of the conflict as good versus evil, saying that global elements entwined in this conflict. So the Pope added a couple months before the war started that he met a head of state whom he didn't identify. And this is what he said. He said, this is Pope Francis, I'll quote him. He said, quote, he told me that he was very worried about how NATO was moving. The Pope asked him why. And he replied, they're barking at the gates of Russia. They don't understand that the Russians are imperial and they can't have any foreign power getting close to them. And then he added, look, we don't see the whole drama unfolding behind this war, which was perhaps somehow either provoked or not prevent it. But he did make clear that Russia was wrong to invade Ukraine. But he brought up the point, and I will talk to Dr. Daniel Kempton about this. Was NATO barking at Russia's door? Did we somehow provoked us. Now, clearly, I'm with the Pope on this. It's ridiculous for a sovereign nation to go and invade another. They amassed tanks. NATO was not amassing tanks on Russia's border, right? NATO's has always been peacekeeping. They're not an organization that was, in my opinion, a threat to Vladimir Putin. This whole imperial thought, though, is correct. Vladimir Putin was meeting with young entrepreneurs and scientists just recently. I forget how many days ago it was, and he made this reference to the 18th century Russian Tsar Peter the Great. And he says, you know, you might think that he was fighting with Sweden, seizing the lands, but he seized nothing. Vladimir Putin says he reclaimed it. And he argued that the Slavs had lived in that area for centuries. And it seems, he says, it has fallen to us to reclaim and strengthen. So he has this vision of expansion. Notice how Putin used that word royal we. In the last statement. Let's talk about it. Dr. Daniel Kempton is the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Franciscan University of Steubenville. Great to have him here with us today, a Fulbright scholar, and he studied in Russia for quite a while. It's good to have him back. He's done a lot of published scholarly works on the former Soviet Union. Dr. Kempton, always a delight, and I'm so grateful to be able to tap into your expertise. You lived in Russia. You studied there, right? You worked there.
I worked at Tver State University. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half northwest of Moscow, on the route between Moscow and St. Petersburg.
So, you know, let's talk history here for a minute. I mean, Vladimir Putin aligning himself with Peter the Great, the Pope saying, hey, you know, I had this conversation where Russia sees NATO as barking at their door. How do you read this? I mean, Russia's not as large as it once was. I don't even know how far the Russian Empire once extended at one point. But, you know, if we take this type of philosophy, we can go back to the Romans, whose empire, you know, spanned, the continent. You can go back to the Greeks. You can go back to Egypt. You can go to a lot of other nations. So this type of logic is a little troubling for me. But give me your take on what's being said and how Vladimir Putin views all this.
Yeah, I think the argument Putin is making is plausible, but a bit of a stretch. I mean, what he's basically arguing is, look, the Slavic peoples once occupied St. Petersburg, which is true, once occupied Kiev and have occupied it for much of the last couple of millennia. But the point is, that's equating the Russian people with the Slavic people, and Ukrainians would beg to differ. They would say, no, we're a separate people, we're a branch of the Slavic peoples, but haven't been the same people for 1,500 years. The irony in all of this for me is he's referring to Peter the Great's success, but let's not forget the Great Northern War, which he was referring to, was a 20-year or 21-year long war and a very brutal, difficult campaign. So even though the results may be something Putin desires, certainly the process isn't one the Russian people are willing to stomach again.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The Pope making these comments, whoever the head of state is that the Pope meant, I don't know who that was, his observation about NATO barking at an imperialist door, how do you read that? And did Vladimir Putin use this, the fact that, yeah, we were closing in, so to speak, as an opportunity to go back and claim, a corridor to the Baltic Sea and reclaim more territory? I mean, is there truth in how Putin sees this, or how do you read it?
Yeah, it's complex. And when you ask it that way, yes, there is truth in it, in that at times NATO has done and threatened things without really following through. And that's probably the worst situation. Keep in mind that we've made commitments to the Ukraine in the past during the nuclear disarmament. We did that with the Budapest Accords. We've also started Ukraine and led them to believe they would be on the path to NATO entry once Belarus, and then changed our minds and backed out of it. Yeah. So this sort of periodic acts as if it's going to expand by NATO and then pulling back leads Putin to believe that he can be effective in resisting it, and it also creates greater anxiety. If you really feel you need to expand NATO, it should just do it, not
right.
talk about it, create the angst, create the tensions, and lead Russia to the conclusion that it needs to yeah. do something to stop us.
If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. The number is 888-914-9149. Love to get your perspective. There was a caller who called in, says there are videos in the academic world that this was a very provoked situation. Drew may be well-intentioned, but there have been lectures back in 2014 and 15 that say that NATO and the U.S. have been provoked because of their liberal agenda, because Russia doesn't fit the liberal agenda. Is there truth to that?
I think there is some. I think we in the West at times try to universalize our values, and many countries, not just Russia and President Putin, don't like that. So there has been a pushing of Russia to sort of adopt Western norms. Again, many of them as Catholics we agree with, but there's others as Catholics we don't agree with. It's yep. it's complex.
That's true. Well, Doctor, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can talk more. Does Vladimir Putin have cancer? Is there an off-ramp for Vladimir Putin? I'll share what the French president had to say, Emmanuel Macron, about not humiliating Vladimir Putin. If you want to sound off, share your views, I'd love to hear from you. The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our guest today, Dr. Daniel Kempton. Stay with me. The conversation continues right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
If you don't live what you believe, you'll end up believing what you live. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us. Good to be with you today. Just putting our finger on the pulse of what's happening in Ukraine. I know coverage of that has been, muted a little bit. It's still getting coverage of it, but a lot of other things here at home. Gas prices, Supreme Court, Dobbs, all seeming to fill the headlines. A lot of races, political races are underway. And I think it's important to continue to talk about this. It affects us at home. And, of course, I hope you're praying for peace. When the Ukraine and Russia, when that conflict began, there was a unified start, right? NATO and the U.S., everybody was on the same page. We're more than, 100 days now into this war. And we are now beginning to see what some are saying are cracks in the Western unity against Russia. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, he came under fire because he suggested that, well, it'd be unwise to humiliate Vladimir Putin, with a resounding defeat. And the prospect, of that, he doesn't think would end well. He's grappling. A lot of people are grappling with when the Kremlin launched this war. And it did a couple things. It inspired clarity for NATO. It unified the U.S. and its allies. But now there's some division. There's been a lot of psychological scars on that continent over the past century. No question about that. France, Germany, and Italy, they're in favor of calling for negotiations and ceasefires rather than an unconditional military support of Ukraine. Some officials say, hey, that's not a good idea. Eastern Europeans or some of the ex-Soviet states, along with the UK, they're ironclad in their, at all cost approach to solidarity for Ukraine. And critics are saying, look, this might create a war in Europe for a long time. It may even escalate to, with a nuclear-armed power like Moscow. So what are we seeing now? How does this end? Is there an off-ramp for Vladimir Putin? And how do we not say, hey, it's okay to roll into a sovereign nation and turn it to rubble? My guest today, Dr. Daniel Kempton, he's an expert on the former Soviet Union and on Russia and Vladimir Putin. And He joins us today. He hails, of course, from Franciscan University, where he's vice president of academic affairs. There was a great article I read on this, and they went through both of the scenarios, both sides. Macron saying we shouldn't humiliate Putin, but instead allow him an exit ramp through diplomatic means. I want your thought on that. How do we get out of this war? Are there fissures now showing in the West with their approach to how they're dealing with Russia? I'd love your take.
Yeah, I think there are. We are beginning to see at least differences of opinion of where the emphasis should be. I think everyone still agrees we need to back Ukraine and provide military support, not troops. But at the same time, we've entered a new phase of the war, I would argue, where it is becoming a war of attrition. I mean, the Russian losses are considerable, and it's very clear that they don't have the kind of overwhelming strength where they can roll through Ukraine and occupy it. At the same time, Ukraine's running out of, as you mentioned earlier in the show, they're running out of some of the armaments they need. They don't have the ability to fully push Russia out. So presuming Putin isn't dying and is going to be replaced by tomorrow, and that may be true, we just don't know. I mean, some of this could be disinformation. But assuming it's not true, then we sort of have to establish some sort of off-ramp. Now, I would agree with Macron on that, but disagree with former Secretary Kissinger in that we don't have to make territorial concessions. I would argue what Ukraine needs to do is set an acceptable, reasonable position for an exit from the war. I don't think the world can leave Putin controlling some of the land he got through this war, but it is plausible to say things like, okay, Crimea was taken in 2014. That isn't necessarily to be given back to end this war. Okay, he said he started this war to stop Ukraine from joining NATO. We've never actually approved NATO membership for Ukraine. Now, maybe we approve it for Swinland and Finland, and that becomes the price he pays. But we need to sort of start setting up the conditions where the Russian people, whether it's Putin or someone else, can see what a settlement might look like, because we're not going to have a victor in the coming years, I don't think, and certainly in the coming months.
There's been a tone change, too. I mean, there's been sanctions upon sanctions, you know, yachts have been seized. There's been oligarchs have been sanctioned. There was a lot of saber rattling in the very beginning, this threat of escalation and nuclear exchange and threats of striking, you know, weapons that are coming in from the West, et cetera. That seems to have died down. I don't hear a whole lot of that anymore. And I wonder how Vladimir Putin is approaching all this. To Macron's point, too, just one other note on what he had to say. If you look at this historically, and I know you're a historian, maybe he doesn't want to humiliate Russia because we can learn lessons from those severe penalties that were imposed on Germany after World War One, which some historians say created conditions for the rise of the Nazis and the Second World War that happened after that. So I'm looking for a way out of this, but a way to uphold the justice, to uphold justice, if you will. You know, I don't know. I don't know what those concessions will be. It's a tough one. It really is.
Yeah, I think we need to look for that, and we need to be in serious dialogue with our allies and with Ukraine itself. And I think they would have a right to expect that they wouldn't lose any territory from this event in it. But there are things short of that that would not humiliate Russia, which I agree with you, that you don't want to do. That causes future conflicts.
So, Doctor, I have a couple minutes left, and maybe you can't answer this, and I don't know whether it's speculation or rumor or what it is. Vladimir Putin's health, it has been the subject of just intense conversation inside the Biden administration. I believe the intelligence community produced, I think it was number four, I think it was a fourth comprehensive assessment at the end of May. It was a classified U.S. report, and it says that, you know, Putin seems to maybe have reemerged after undergoing treatment for advanced cancer. And there were some intelligence leaders who were reporting this. What is any word on Putin's health? What do we know about it? Does he have cancer? What do you know about those rumors, if anything at all?
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot other than that there are some strange behaviors. I mean, you've got video evidence of him shaking, which have led some to a diagnosis of Parkinson. Mm-hmm. There have been disappearances, puffiness around the face and jowls that would suggest some steroid usage that might be mm-hmm. part of a cancer treatment. Blood cancer, thyroid cancer are both widely speculated about. But keep in mind, to dispirit the Russian forces, it helps us
yes.
to get out the information that he may be yep. sick. So we may well be overapplying this disinformation-wise to try and hurt the Russian war effort. So I think we've got to prepare for either eventuality, that Putin is going to survive this. I mean, he's a decade younger than our president. He's not that old, although he may be in ill health.
Yeah, in war, there's a lot of propaganda, no doubt about it, a lot of misinformation.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for your time today, Doctor. It's always good to have you here with us. And if people want to follow you or your writings or get in touch, get in touch with Franciscan, what's the best way to connect?
Yeah, franciscan.edu is our main website, and you can find my email there as well. We got a lot of great programs. We'd love to have more students enrolled in.
It's awesome. Great, great institution. I'm grateful for your time again. And we'll catch up soon, I hope. It's always good to talk. That's Dr. Daniel Kempton. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. Pope Francis also said something else. I don't know how much coverage you got. He says, this particular thing is a threat to public health. I'll fill you in.